David Cooper is going to join us this week, tonight, and Slow News Day is on the way as well. I am Jim Richards. This is the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight.
What, that guy needs to be put in the penalty box. It's been like, 2 days, and we already have conspiracies? We'll talk about that next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
Everybody was shocked by that story that happened a couple of days ago when the Francis Scott Keyes Bridge collapsed in Baltimore, the home of one of the most important ports in North America, if not, it definitely is in America. And that audio is haunting. The audio of the bridge talking and conveying, hey, we heard that this, here it is.
Right, one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
We talked with some people yesterday. I thought one of the most interesting things that we heard was that a lot of these places are trying to save money. And that once upon a time, you would have had a tugboat pull you out past that bridge. But now they've stopped doing that. So the search and rescue for anybody, bodies at this point. And just today, there was sad news that they found two bodies.
Shortly before 10 a.m., divers located a red pickup truck submerged in approximately 25 feet of water in the area of the middle span of the bridge. Divers recovered two victims of this tragedy trapped within the vehicle.
So what was really interesting, if you watch that video again, you know, we just played that audio of the guy closing down the bridge.
One of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching.
So they said that they did hold traffic, but man, if you watch that video, there are still cars on that bridge up until seconds before the bridge collapsed. But what is really interesting to me is that, I mean, it doesn't even take a day before people are claiming different conspiracies, whether it is, you know, somebody trying to attach it to Ukraine. I don't know. I would, these days, when something like, The reality has become so messed up with some of this conspiracy stuff that you wouldn't recognize the reality of somebody's dumb conspiracy from satire. So if you told me that there was a group of people who were claiming this was about pronouns or Hillary Clinton or any number of different things, I might believe it. There's something called a black swan theory, and that's what Michael Flynn, the former general and Trump national security advisor, said it was. And then you got people like Benny Johnson or Laura Loomer, who are QAnon people, and even Alex Jones on X saying, looks deliberate to me, a cyber attack is probable, World War III has started. What do we make of any of this? Nathan Radke joins us right now. He's the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast, which is about, and he's also a cultural history professor at Humber College. Nathan, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me on.
What is a black swan event?
Well, originally the idea refers to any kind of unusual, one-of-a-kind, unpredictable situation that shows up almost out of nowhere and has a global impact on markets and economies. But the way it's being used here, it's being used by people to describe, well, conspiratorial people, to describe alleged false flag style attacks by the deep state to bring about an artificial crisis in order to usher in the new world order.
So, but nobody's done that yet. I guess they're saying yet, meaning that, hey, this happened, thus we have to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that footage, I think everybody had the same thought as me immediately, which was, I hope nobody was killed. The second thought I had was, I bet the internet is already lighting up with wild and unfounded conspiracy theories about this. Because as you pointed out in those clips, this is a tragedy, but it's not mysterious or suspicious. The ship suffered a power failure. It dropped anchor in an attempt to stop, but it's over 100,000 tons. It's too large to stop that quickly. They sent a Mayday message to the Department of Transportation in Maryland reporting loss of control.
Yeah.
I mean, engineers have been warning for decades that this specific bridge was vulnerable to collapse in the event of a ship collision. But, of course, immediately we see people spiraling off into wild, unfounded speculation, unfortunately.
These things, the speculation, the conspiracy, I mean, we're in a whole new world now. Or has this always happened prior to the internet? There just wasn't the fuel to make it seem as ridiculous as it does now.
Well, there's a real advantage to old media like radios and newspapers, and the advantage is also the disadvantage. By the time they report a story, it's old news, but that also means there's been time to fact check and to verify information. Whereas, of course, social media is instant, which means that people can start posting guesses and wild swings long before they receive any good information. And then those wild swings and guesses travel around the world instantly to millions of people.
And it doesn't have to be true, right? Because, I mean, look at all of the mileage that people got out of whether it's the election or Sandy Hook. Alex Jones just recently having his come to Jesus moment about Sandy Hook. So it doesn't have to mean anything. You just have to fill that void with something that isn't true, and it'll probably live forever in some dum-dum's head.
Exactly. The problem is people get attention for hot takes, but never face any consequences for getting things wrong. That means when something terrible happens, there's an incentive for people who are trying to just get clout to get out early with some wild hypothesis that generates likes and retweets. And often we see people who are less interested in finding out the truth. If they were interested in finding out the truth, they'd wait and hold back their comments until the facts came out. And instead, they're more interested in pushing their own narratives and positions and gaining fame and getting clicks and getting likes. It's an entire economy based on that.
It's so true, because it's like when they say, hey, the headline in the newspaper was blah, 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 and maybe the newspaper got it wrong. And the fact check or the correction on it is going to not be in the front page above the fold. It's going to be in the last page in a little blurb that says, hey, we got it wrong the other day, that sort of thing. The internet is way worse than that. These things will get all of the oxygen and still people will believe it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we saw here with this tragedy. There were people who said, this bridge was named after Francis Scott Key, and since Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner, therefore this must have been a deliberate attack meant to destroy a symbolic American target. Or because this happened right after the police raid on P. Diddy's house, it must have been orchestrated to distract people away from that. Or they looked at the footage and said, well, I'm no engineer, but it looks like to me that there was explosives on the bridge. And again, all of these people who are not experts but have a wide audience, they say whatever they need to say in order to get the most possible likes and never suffer the consequences of being wrong.
Yeah. Those were really interesting. I mean, I didn't hear some of those, some of the other ones we had mentioned. But at the end of the day, you're right. People had said that that bridge is susceptible if it takes a direct hit. They no longer use tugboats that could have been helpful. All of these different things. And if it was like a terrorist attack or anything, they're not going to, as you point out, call the control tower here.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys.
And warn them. That's not, I mean, it's not like a James Bond movie where you've got 30 seconds to solve this problem, or I'm going to hit this bridge and take out one of the major ports in North America. That's not what it is. Go ahead.
Well, you're totally right, but there's a psychological explanation, I think, why we look for conspiratorial explanations when something like this happens. Because in a way, it's almost more frightening for people to live in a world where things like this can happen because of accidents and incompetence, rather than, at least if there's an evil secret cabal behind it, then at least someone is in control, rather than having these awful things happen just sort of randomly.
Nathan, thank you very much for your time. Good stuff. What's on the podcast?
What we've got coming up is some interesting stuff on bugs and Freemasons.
Okay. The Uncover-Up. Nathan Radke is one of the co-hosts. I'm Jim Richards. David Cooper is next on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.